Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, hello out there, all you excellent humans. Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Hot Mess Clubhouse. I'm your host, Lucy Vine, and this is a podcast celebrating funny women. This season is all about funny writers, and I'm thrilled to be welcoming journalist, author, and presenter Dawn O'Porter as my guest this week. I've been a fan of Dawn's for ages, and I loved her last book, The Cows, but I had no idea until this last week what an intensely devoted fan base she has. I've had so many messages from people I haven't spoken to in years came out of the woodwork to tell me how much they love Dawn, and I am happy to confirm her real-life loveliness. We talked about her genuinely brilliant new book, So Lucky, as well as much sillier things like whether dogs are people, casting Jason Donovan in her new musical, and asparagus wee. She then invited me to her book launch, where I talked to Louis Theroux, which is a whole other thing, but something I will forever be grateful to Dawn for. I hope you enjoy this episode. I loved it. Welcome to the clubhouse.
Thank you.
This is the Hot Mess Clubhouse, and you are now a member.
Oh.
Are you in any other clubs?
Yes, I am.
What clubs are you in?
Soho House.
Are you? Oh, that's so media.
Yeah.
So cool.
So media and so cool. And also a club called Jane Club, which is a ladies only workspace.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Which is where I work.
Oh, so is that where you... Can you not work at home? Is that something you...
Can't work at home.
You have to go out.
Have to go and do a 9-to-5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just useless.
And have you met lovely people in this place as well?
Yeah, and it's really... Because when you write, obviously, you're on your own all the time.
Yeah.
So if I work from home, there's no work life. Mm-hmm. And so I've joined this club, and now I just have this really eclectic group of women who I go to work with every day.
Oh, nice.
It's brilliant.
Oh,
love
that's
it.
So nice.
I know.
And you wanted to do the women's only thing?
Well, this place is particularly special because they have a daycare downstairs, so I take my kid.
I used to take
him full-time, now he just comes on Wednesdays. But it's pretty dreamy.
Oh, that does sound dreamy.
Just go down at lunchtime and have a right snuggle on his big chubby cheeks.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know.
So I do want to start this conversation, speaking of cute, by talking about your dog Potato.
Oh, come on.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
He's just the most cute.
He's the nicest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's...
I'm glad you said person.
Oh.
Because I call my dogs people,
yeah,
and people get cross with me about
it. No. Potato is just... He's just
so adorable.
Yeah,
I
call him my memory phone dog.
Yes. Could you do more pictures on your Instagram of him, please?
I can. He's getting old and getting scared.
I know.
I can't help it. I'm such a morbid person.
We just lost our family dog.
Stop.
And he's been living with me for the last 9 months as well, because my mum's been having renovations.
Oh, baby.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was awful. I have two other dogs, though.
To make up for it.
Who do you love more, Potato or your cat?
That's a very hard question.
It's okay, they're not listening.
Yes, they are.
They're always listening.
Lilo, I have had for 16 years. She's
what?
My entire adult life.
Wow.
I have ferried this fucking cat
really
around the world.
Have they both got passports? Can they come with
yes,
you?
Yes, they've both got passports. So Lilo is my, she's, yeah, like my entire adult life, but she's horrible to us.
That's what cats do.
She keeps me up more in the night than the babies do. She yells at me constantly. She pisses on my bed. She's just a horrible person. And then Potato is just... the most emotionally needy person I've ever met in my life, but just made a memory foam.
But that's it, isn't it? Like, cats I really respect because they're such bastards a lot of the time, and they make you work for it. But dogs will just love you matter what.
I know.
You can leave them to come do promo in London for a week, and they will still just be happy to see you.
So the question of which one I love more...
Yeah.
I love them both equally, of course, no, but definitely Potato.
Yes. Because he just gives more back,
oh,
right?
My baby.
And I really like how whenever I read like an about you thing, like in the flap of your book or whatever, your pets get equal billing to your,
absolutely,
to your children.
Yeah. The kids got added later.
Yeah. Oh yeah, should I also have children?
Yeah, exactly. Better mention them.
Yeah. But speaking of the inside flap of your book,
yeah,
the sun in a bit of CD. Sorry.
Love my flaps.
Oh my god. Your book is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. I love it. Thank you.
I can't sort of tell you how much I loved it. Like, it's weirdly like stayed with me
because, oh,
I finished
great.
It about a week ago, and it's really stayed with me. And I keep sort of mulling over the characters and the story. I don't want to be too gushy.
No, please gush away. Gush away about
I
my
flaps.
I want
to beat Chris Evans, who is really gushing.
Oh my god! So I went on just to recap.
Yeah, you better explain. I'm not very good at recap.
First stop on my book tour was this morning on Chris Evans' breakfast show, and he was so gushy. He read it. It was just unbelievable. It was like if you were to write your perfect scenario on the radio with someone like Chris Evans and he just said all of the things.
Because I sort of think I would be scared of him and he might be a bit mocking and a bit sort of take a tone.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
But he was just lovely.
He just gushed.
That's really nice.
I know.
Well, do you want to explain, do the elevator pitch for your book?
I'm so rubbish at that, so yes.
Me too. I'm trying to make other people do it.
I'm so rubbish at it. And essentially, it's about three women, Ruby, Beth and Lauren, and their battles. It was all inspired by that phrase, everyone is fighting a battle you know nothing about. So that was doing the rounds on Instagram a couple of years ago, and I was like, that's kind of the backbone to what this book is about.
Yeah.
You can presume that everyone's got it sorted, and of course no one has.
Yeah.
No one has.
Sure.
So scratch the surface. Mm-hmm. And so these women, Ruby has got a really distressing physical condition that she can't get past. It's affected her life in every way. And Beth, her husband won't have sex with her, and that is turning her into a fiend. And Lauren paints this perfect existence on Instagram, and we realise that it's not all that.
Ruby in particular, I'm really obsessed with, because actually, like, she's got this thing going on, and she can't bring herself to sort of like herself on any level,
yeah,
as it were. But she is actually quite difficult to like as a character,
yes,
because she's pushing everybody away. So it's a very difficult thing. She's got this very sympathetic thing happening or going on, and yet is an so she's very unsympathetic, and that is, it's very, very well written.
Well, I think
because it's important to have flawed and difficult,
yes,
and unlikable female characters.
But also, think of any movie or any TV show where very often the male or female, but mostly male character is questionable and doing all these terrible things. Like a hitman, for example, who's out there literally killing people, but you're rooting for them because you understand that their wife left them and they're really, literally just said the plot of my husband's TV show, Get Shorty There.
Yes, well, nice. When is it on? Watch out.
Epics. But this is the thing about not shying away from writing characters who you just want your readers to really like. You've just got to make your readers understand them. And I think that's what you do with Ruby. She's not very nice and she's horrible to everyone, but you kind of understand what she's up against.
Yeah.
And therefore, by the end, you're rooting for her.
Absolutely, yeah. Have you found so far having three different heroines makes it much harder for people to assume it's autobiographical?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I feel like always with writing. They go, so which one are you, which one are you?
Exactly.
And I mean, there's always going to be, you know, parts of me in little bits forever. But this is my first book where I really went miles away from myself, fully researched the characters, based them on other people, like really, there's, you know, I'm a mum of a small kid, I get what Ruby's going through, I'm a working mum, so I understand what Beth is going through. I'm on Instagram, so I haven't really got any idea what Lauren's going through, but I get, like, I know all of these worlds.
Yeah.
But they, they're not me this time.
We also have to give a shout out to Risky, who like the fourth, like, you mentioned three, but there's really four. Risky is definitely a fourth.
Risky is my millennial, and
she's very open.
She's very open, and she's out there for the better good of women. And
yeah.
She's
is
just,
she based on anyone?
No.
Who do you know who has masturbated in the office?
I did used to have an assistant called Buzz, who I loved a bit, who was not Risky, absolutely not. She didn't speak like her at all, but she
masturbated.
But sometimes, but she had this amazing kind of social life, and she was just so happy to be around. And I was just, And I was like, she definitely inspired the idea of that kind of younger assistant when you're kind of in your baby making years, and that you feel like you're on a different planet from this person, and that they're living on a different planet. So that kind of inspired that.
She's awesome.
She's brilliant.
Do you think young people really are that liberated?
Like, no, okay. But I think they want to be, and I think I think Risky just wants
she's
to be.
Not really
Because
I always think I'm very repressed. Except that I totally have that vibrator that you described.
Do you?
So I was like, oh no, I'm so repressed, and yet I'm also a cliche. Just too obvious. How was your experience of writing this one compared to your last one? So this is number four novel, but six
this
books.
Is fourth novel, yeah. So, I mean, writing The Cows was really difficult because I was running a business that was floundering at the time, and I was also a new mum. And I found the whole thing, so it was a very stressful writing experience. So I never really, when The Cows came out and people really liked it, I didn't understand what they were talking about. Like, I was quite disconnected from it. This time, I went to work every day, and I worked 9 to 5. I had my, you know, I dropped my kid off at school, I picked him up every day, I had my routine, I had my life all in check. And I just wrote it. And my writing process will always be messy. There's always going to be around 3 weeks of total meltdown where I think I'm shit and can't do anything, where I cry to my editor and just never see my husband because I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And then... But when I finished, I knew it was good. It's different from... I knew I'd done my best and I knew I'd written the book I wanted to write. And so...
Well, that's an amazing feeling.
It's an amazing feeling. So going into this book tour compared to how I felt when I was going into my last book tour, my last one, I was 7 months pregnant with terrible hair and I had my 2.5-year-old with me the whole time on my own, and it was so stressful.
You never have terrible hair, just for the record.
I had terrible hair. And this time, my kids are in America, my hair's all right, and I love my book. So it's all, I just feel like everything's great.
So the imposter syndrome, not so much this time.
No, and do you know what? This is what, and I'm always saying this to my friends, they're like TV presenters or if they're radio presenters, and they always feel like they're still like working their way up, and like, we're fucking 40, we're doing it. We are the thing. I am now an author 4 novels later. I've got to stop feeling like a fraud.
Yeah.
Like, I get paid to do this job and I do it every single day, and this is what I am. So I'm here, this is my first book tour, and I'm like,
yes.
Hear
me roar.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Because
keep
I wanted to ask if you were there yet with, you know, the cover and everything. But yeah,
just,
that's awesome.
Just about. It's taken
and
a long time.
You just signed another 2-book deal, right?
I have, yeah.
Exciting.
Great.
Are you buzzing? Congratulations.
I am buzzing, but I'm also like, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like, writing,
no, do it again.
Writing is hard. Writing is really, really hard.
So I've just finished writing my fourth one, and so far I have found it like one good, one bad, like really horrible.
Congratulations.
One great, writing process, I mean.
Yeah.
But, so good luck with the next one.
Thanks.
You're ahead
of
me.
How's your writing process?
Oh no, don't. Let's not do me.
Do you have meltdowns?
20 minutes done. Yeah, but sort of, I like to be completely cut off. I don't go to a place like an office like you.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably worse for me.
So where do you write?
In my conservatory.
Right.
With my dogs. But yeah, anyway, let's not do me. Before we go any further, we have to do the clubhouse initiation.
Oh, hello.
Which I've just let that hang because it sounds scary, but it's actually just to kind of get to know you quick fire, but it's also a slow fire because I want you to take your time.
Yeah, great. No,
and
I mean,
feel free to go off on tangents if you want.
Oh, I will.
I love a tangent. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is your go-to takeaway?
Food.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm American now, so they say takeout.
Oh, do they? Takeout.
My go-to takeaway. All right, so there's two.
Okay.
We love ramen.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
We love a cheeky ramen, and that's literally what it's called on the menu.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Nice.
We also love, I love a green curry.
Yeah, well, good choices.
Green curry, good. Brown rice.
Do you have a spirit animal? It's probably a literal animal, isn't it?
Beyonce, probably.
Beyonce.
I mean, that's the first person that flashed into my head when you said that, so I guess that's it. We're so alike, it's annoying for people.
I dedicated my last book to Beyonce.
Are you
serious? Like a 4-page acknowledgement.
I'm so jealous that you did that, because I was thinking about doing that one day. That's genius.
Well, your book is dedicated to all the Janes.
Well, that's because my club is called the Jane Club. My auntie who raised me is called Jane. My sister is called Jane. It's like, what's with all these fucking Janes?
I was going to say, how many Janes? That seems like quite
just
a lot of Janes.
Thousands of Janes.
Amazing.
Beyonce.
Beyonce, good, but excellent choice. Do you remember your first snog?
Yes. Vividly.
Can you tell me about
my
it? Was
sister,
it
my aunt and uncle who raised us had gone out on New Year's Eve, and my sister invited people over, and it was very controversial and terrible. And
How old are you?
I would have been probably 12.
Good choice.
And one of the teenage boys snogged me on the chair.
How teenage? How much older?
So disgusting. Oh, probably about, you know. It was definitely illegal.
Was it a paedophile?
Yeah. No, he probably would have been about 16.
Paedophile.
Yeah. But it's fine.
Oh, was it gross?
It was... I loved it. I think I fell in love with him, and that lasted about 5 years.
Do you replay conversations after you've walked away from them?
Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
And I talk... I'm one of those people, when I'm driving around in my car, I have conversations, I plan conversations out loud or replay them. And I always like have to pretend to like the person who pulls up at the red light next to me that I'm on the phone. I'm always talking to myself.
Looking at you, like,
always
yeah.
Practicing conversations.
Oh, I find as I get older, I'm doing that more. I don't know if it's an anxiety thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. How often do you Google yourself?
Oh, God. How often do I Google myself? At the moment, quite a bit, because I want to see what people are saying about my book.
Gotcha.
When I haven't, generally, not that much anymore, but I used to do it all the time.
Oh, right.
At one point, I had a Google alert. Which is, well, I turn that off.
Because
that's a terrible idea. But now at the moment,
does
quite a lot.
Does it not affect you? Are you okay reading through Amazon reviews and Google things?
I think it's very useful.
Okay.
In all seriousness, I think when you write books, you've got to read the bad stuff, because these people have had this reaction to reading your book, and it's come from somewhere. If they have finished the book and they're having a negative reaction, like, it's all notes, really. I think
they're usually not constructive, though. It's just like,
no,
oh, shit.
But you know what? There's sometimes on Amazon, when someone leaves like a 1-star review and they've written about 400 words, they are being a bit constructive. When someone's just like, shit, hated it. When someone's going, didn't like this character, I didn't like, the men weren't fully drawn. That's a really good note.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
And you're able to take yourself away from your own writing enough to
a little
take
bit,
that. And
a little bit. But
it's very impressive. You're very mature.
Well, I know I'm not, and I do. I definitely get upset when people are just horrible. Yeah. But if someone is literally like constructively breaking down my work, I find it quite useful.
Well, that's
and then
very
I cry,
good.
And then I yeah. and then I apply myself.
A bit like when you get your edits back, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You cry and you think they're idiots, and then you're actually these are good.
Yeah, eventually.
Well,
yeah.
What conspiracy theories do you believe in? Moon landing.
Okay. Oh, I watched that documentary where it didn't really happen, and I was like,
oh no,
it's
you're
really,
convinced.
It's really convincing. What else do I think?
Oh,
I'm sure on the tip of my tongue there's a really good one and I can't think of it.
You're in LA. Have you joined Scientology yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be weird if like Michael Jackson wasn't dead or something?
Oh yeah, you love a conspiracy like that.
Bring it on, I'd fucking go at him, asshole. Anyway, should we move on?
Yeah. Yeah, but I agree. Are there any landline numbers you still remember?
Oh, my family one. I nearly said it there. But I won't do that. But yeah, because remember in the 80s when you used to answer the phone saying the number?
Oh, yeah.
So pretty much everyone in Guernsey, actually, I pretty much remember like random friends from school's
so
phone numbers.
Boys you fancied or whatever.
Yeah.
Good. Don't say it out loud. What do you hate most being asked?
That's a really good question. And I've been asked it twice today, so I feel a bit bad.
No, go on. Fucking Chris Evans.
Are you going to have another kid?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's rude, though.
Do you know what? Here's the thing. People aren't being rude when they ask. And we've all got to remember this. And it's the kind of question where I would totally, when you don't know someone very well and you're a bit awkward and talking about babies, I can totally see myself coming out with, so you're going to have another one. And they're going, fuck, we're not supposed to ask that. So I get it. It's fine. But I just feel like I answer it a lot.
I'm not going to ask you.
Thanks. And I'm not going to have another kid, by the way.
Are you going to get another pet, though?
Definitely. Lulu's 16.
How bendy are you?
Not at all. I'm unsupple. It's embarrassing. I can't go to yoga. I love Pilates, but it's hideous. Can't touch my toes. I'm going to show you right now. I've never in my life, with a straight leg,
really
touched my toes.
You're quite tall though, aren't you?
That's really not very good. And I can't, if I'm on my back and I can't straighten my legs.
Oh right.
I have
ghastly hamstrings. Because sport makes you all tired.
I absolutely do not play the sports.
The sports.
No.
Did you as a teenager?
I was one of those. I was like, please, I've just got my period again. I hate sport. I hate exercise. It doesn't come naturally to me at all. It really upsets me.
Good to
but
know.
Chris got me a Peloton for my 40th, and I do try and do that. A Peloton, like a spin bike that you have in your home with a live instructor on the screen.
No way. Oh, did she mention that in your book?
Yes. She's got one. And and that's actually, I actually really enjoy that. Not that I've been on it for 3.5 months, but I quite enjoy it.
Still counts. If it's in your house,
yeah, exactly.
It counts. You've basically got a
dress is hanging on it.
And then finally, do you think about death?
All the time, every single day, constantly. Mm-hmm. I've got a real issue with it.
Yeah.
I think, it's a perky answer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think when you become a mum, you become obsessed with death, especially when your own mum died when she was when I was young. So I think about it. I just always think, so because of this, I'm obsessed with traditions and memories, which means that Chris is always like, you're always trying to make traditions. I'm like, we could have this thing where every birthday we've got a birthday tree. So we like a Christmas tree and we put all the things. And he's like, that's another one of Dawn's traditions. Then I'll be another one like, on Sundays, I think we should always have like pancakes Saturday morning, fry up Sunday morning at about like 10, and then 3 o'clock we'll have the roast. And the kids will say forever that they used to have a roast at 3 o'clock, always trying to create traditions. And I think that's because
lovely.
If I die tomorrow, then they'll have
they
all these
carry
like,
on
traditions.
Living in your memory.
Yeah.
Every day we'll have to do another mum thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just dragging
so
them.
One day I should probably write a book of all my traditions that I've tried to and we'll do them for like a week and then never do them again.
This is too depressing.
Yeah.
Aww, but that's nice. There's some traditions.
I love traditions.
It's not intense what you're putting out there. Oh, so congratulations, you've survived the initiation.
Oh no, thank you.
Here is your welcome to the clubhouse goodie bag.
Oh my goodness.
Just some sweeties and some chocolate.
Oh my god, you're so brilliant.
Are you a chocolate person?
I have a bit of chocolate. I don't really eat sweets. Oh, I loved Aeros though, but you've gone retro.
It's a bit retro,
so I'm so into that. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. That's gonna get me through my bounty.
I always wondered this. Do mums, like, when you become a mum, do sweets and chocolate, like, lose their kind of excitement? Because they're more, like, things that you have to deal with kids.
My kid, my four-year-old, when I give him sugar, goes crazy 20 minutes later.
Right,
so
very
quite limited in our house. And honestly, despite your lovely gift, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. Chris, on the other hand, would eat that entire bag right
now.
You
can feel free to give it to Chris.
Yeah, well, I would definitely take him some of your, like, the...
Oh, there's some popcorn. I don't know if you want
I'll eat that. And good. I do love a sweet. I like these little fried egg things.
Oh, good. Because
I'm
going to
have
that,
the Aero.
That 23andMe, do you know what that is?
I haven't done it
yet.
DNA
thing. Yeah, I did it recently. And it said that I'm a salty person over sweets. And it tells you such weird stuff.
It.
Yeah, it's stuff like I'm unlikely to have a dimple in my chin, or like my second toe is probably shorter than my. It's such weird random
Interesting.
Stuff. I can likely smell asparagus. It's really weird.
Does your wee smell when you eat asparagus?
Yeah, doesn't everybody?
No.
That's probably just because you can't smell asparagus. Your DNA probably doesn't let you smell it.
No, my wee smells when I eat asparagus.
Oh.
But some people apparently it doesn't smell.
I think maybe
because you've either got the enzyme or you haven't. You've either got the asparagus enzyme or you don't have the asparagus enzyme.
Okay, well, you need to do the 23andMe thing so you can find out if you've got that.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Have you ever looked into your family tree or stuff like that?
No, but I'm absolutely convinced that somewhere down the line we're Jewish, because I'm literally the most Jewish mother ever, even though I'm not Jewish.
Oh, right.
Like, constant, like, bringing the family, cooking constantly. Oh. My Jewish friends in LA say that I'm the most Jewish person they've ever met.
Oh, right.
And,
well, you need to look into
it. So I need to look into it, because maybe I am. I'd love to be.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be more interesting, but I'm just really British and Irish.
Yeah, I've always felt really, really nondescript.
What do your family think of your career? Do they understand it yet?
Yes, they do. They love it. They my dad read this book twice, which was
That's wonderful.
Yes, which was a surprise to us all. And then he relentlessly Googled Ruby's condition so that he could understand it more.
Oh, bless him, that's no, but that's good. That's what you want. Yeah, to understand.
It's lovely. I've written embarrassing books since I was about 24, so they've had quite a lot to come to terms with.
Yeah.
But no, they love it. They're all very supportive of it. I think they love it. They're quite eccentric, my family, so they quite appreciate, I think, that I've gone off and done this weird thing. Yeah. And I said from the day I was born that I was going to be at some way in the public eye, so I think they're just happy that that was a
worked
happy
out for you got your dream
result. Yeah,
that
got,
that's really nice. Can I also ask about the musical, especially for you?
Yes.
Was it the best fun to work on?
I'm still working on it, just on the first draft. It's still very much in the making, but yes, it's going to be fantastic.
Has it been the most fun thing you've ever done?
Put on this earth to write it, that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Do you think, like, can Kylie be in it?
I mean, it would be great. There's definitely a part for Jason, but I don't know if he'd do it.
He has to. No, what else is he doing?
No, he's got to go on tour.
Or whatever.
I know. So, no, I mean, it's a long way off, but yeah, it's going to be amazing.
And you're also doing your new So Lucky podcast, right?
I am, yes.
Have you done that already? Is that ready to go?
No, I've done about four of them and we've got a few
you're
more to do.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's just a chat, isn't it?
You just do so much stuff.
I know, I do.
It's so impressive. And I don't know if you'll like the description, but you're also a social media star.
I'm like a sensation.
I'm so sorry. but I imagine that's quite an up and down thing.
Mine's just so chilled out. It's so chilled out.
Yeah.
And it's just me and everyone's generally really nice. Yeah. And I'm just silly. And I think people like silly.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Mm. Yes, that's why I'm a fan.
Yes, thanks.
I've always wondered where Hot Patooties comes from. Because it sounds like an inside joke.
No, it's Meatloaf's song in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, I'm so dumb.
And I love the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Of course, yeah.
So I don't know why,
yeah.
But I just picked that when Twitter started.
Because it sounds a little bit like, you know, how when we first all got like Yahoo email addresses,
yeah.
And we were like, sexy gals,
yeah.
And hot patooties.
Well, no, it's not. It's kind of means sweetheart. It's not actually anything. But I mean, the amount of times that I've been introduced on radio as hot potato, and it's not even what it says.
To be fair, for a long time I realised I was saying in my head, hot per tooties.
Yeah, yeah, hot per tooties. Yeah, and it just kind of stuck. Didn't know it was going to be such a big deal, did we, the old Twitter.
Yeah,
exactly.
The old Twitter. What were you like as a teenager?
Really annoying, really desperate to be liked. I wore really dark lipstick, which never suited me. Plucked my eyebrows until they just weren't there. And yeah, I was probably really...
I was really worried that those eyebrows were coming back recently because Rihanna did them on it. No, you've got lovely eyebrows. But Rihanna did the sort of one on a cover of a magazine, and that was really a scary moment.
Yeah, it's scary for everybody. I would say that I was living on a tiny island, desperate to get off and go live my dream, and I would have been the person in class who didn't let the teachers talk, so I would just try and like stand up and do an hour's stand up instead, and just really annoying. And I remember people like, stop trying to be so funny, and I was like, that's a really terrible note.
It's just my amazing personality.
Yeah, I would usually be like, stop trying to be so funny. I feel like I spent the rest of my life rebelling against that sentence.
Stop trying to be so funny,
you massive bore. Like, you know, what kind of... Anyway, you know, I went to one of those schools, it was like, stop looking out the window, stop trying to be so funny.
Stop dreaming.
Yeah, just...
Stop having a life that is enjoyable.
Exactly, it wasn't for school. So yeah, I would have been very annoying.
So you were excited to finish school?
Yes,
and then how did you end up doing TV? Was there a...
I was working behind the camera.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, it was always... I was literally, as a TV producer, walked into the room and I would stand up and do jazz hands. It was no like, oh, this is a coincidence. But I was working behind the camera on the Ruby Wax show, and a friend of mine who was a producer had this little part in this thing called Balls of Steel that he said I'd be good for. That kind of started,
Do you ever rewatch any of your old documentaries?
I had to get some clips together for someone in America the other day, so I ended up watching a little bit of my Dirty Dancing documentary. It was really fun.
That sounds awesome.
I know, it was great.
Do you ever have a problem like watching yourself back or listening to yourself back on things?
No.
You're so laid back. I'm so impressed.
Or just very, very arrogant.
Shut up. No, it's okay to be arrogant when you are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else on your career bucket list? Because you seem to have done so much, and I know I'm veering close to being like, you're so lucky, which is obviously...
What else do I want to do? I mean, I'd want to start writing scripts. I'd love to write a show or a TV show or a film.
A funny thing.
I think so. But then I can never say, like, I don't write comedy, but what I do will be funny. Because as soon as you say you write comedy, then you've got to do, like, you know, properly gags, and I can't do that.
No.
But yeah, I want to start writing scripts. That's the thing I want to do next.
And you've been inspired by your musical. That's made you want to do more.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. What do you say these days when people say the, oh, you're so lucky thing?
At the moment, I'm kind of just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I've definitely had my struggles and worked hard, had things happen to me in my life that haven't been great. But right now, I'm having, like, a particularly really lovely period of my life, and I'm trying not to be apologetic for it and just enjoy it, because obviously that's not going to last, because it never does. But right here, right now, love my life.
Yeah. And for the record, I don't think it's that you're so lucky. You are incredibly talented.
Oh,
and I know
much.
I've been really sucking
thank
up.
Thank you
have
very
I,
much.
Have I out-sucked up Chris Evans during this interview?
You've done very well. You've done very well. I would say no one will ever be Chris
it's
Evans.
It's fine. That in the intro, I'll just slag you off a bit.
Yeah, do.
Undermine my... Yeah, anyway, I love your books. And on that note, I better wrap things up because
you
about to go. But is there anything else that you would like to plug? Do you want to tell people how to follow you and things like that?
You can follow me at Hot Patooties,
yeah,
which is Meatloaf's song from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, not a reference to my breasts.
Have you started writing next book or anything
yet?
No.
So let me know if you've got any ideas.
I'll be using them.
No, it's not due. The next novel isn't due to hand in until a year and Christmas, so I'm not going to even start it until probably next
autumn.
How long
does it take you to write things?
3 months generally.
That's very good.
But it's an intense 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have a much nicer life if I did it over 6 months, but I don't.
I need to do things tight to a deadline.
Yeah. And 75% of the book gets written in the last week.
That's the same.
Yeah.
It's bad, isn't it?
It's terrible. I finished my first draft of the musical that I had to hand in yesterday on the plane on the way over.
Wow.
I'm just a nightmare.
That's so exciting, though. And you're feeling good about that musical?
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, look, and a million things can happen in these big productions that mean it will never get on stage, but I'm feeling good with my part in it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Can I be in it?
Yeah.
Yay, me and Jason.
Oh, my God.
Imagine. Thank you so much for joining me, Dawn. You are seriously awesome. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ah. Oh, you're so lovely.
What a lovely show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.